Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to call to order the December 4th meeting of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. I'm delighted to have all of you here in attendance in person. And as you can see, we have many citizens joining us by Zoom. We always kick off our meeting with an invocation and a pledge of allegiance. I'm going to ask that our friend Jason DeWall from Umbrella Rebuilding Ministries to give us the invocation.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we call upon your Holy Spirit today, Lord God. We say thank you for your presence in our lives. Father, we thank you for just being with us on a daily basis. Inside our hearts, our minds, our souls, we believe by the power of your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Lord God, may you bless us. We beseech you for your holy wisdom and your strength that we may fulfill our vow to you, to the people that we serve. Be with all these members on the board, and all the county commissioners, and all those who are abroad, and those who are listening. It is through the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
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 Gentlemen, let's have a quick prayer. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, everyone. You notice we're one person absent on our board today. Commissioner Ballard is ill and cannot join us in person. He is, we haven't seen his name up yet, but I know he's going to try to join us by Zoom, which means he can listen in on our deliberations, but he can't participate as a voting commissioner. Back in the days of COVID, we could do that, but now the regulation says that you cannot. But anyway, we're delighted to have everybody here. Having that, I'm going to now turn it over to to County Manager Vaughn for the next portion of the meeting.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening.
Good evening.
At this time, I will oversee the selection of the chairman and vice chairman of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 153A-39. And it reads, on the first Monday in December of each even-numbered year and its first regular meeting in December of each odd-numbered year, the Board of Commissioners shall choose one of its members as chairman for the ensuing year, unless the chairman is elected as such by the people or otherwise designated by law. The board shall also at that time choose a vice chairman to act in the absence or disability of the chairman. If the chairman and the vice chairman are both absent from a meeting of the board, the members present may choose a temporary chairman. The chairman is the presiding officer of the Board of Commissioners. Unless excused by rule of the board, the presiding officer has the duty to vote on any question before the board, but he has no right to break a tie vote in which he participated. At this time, the floor is open for nominations for chair of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners.
Mr. Manager, I make a motion. I nominate John Trent as chairman of the Board of Commissioners.
I second that nomination.
That nomination has been first and second. Are there any other nominations for chairman of Berkshire County Board of Commissioners?
I'd like to make the motion that we close, having that one said.
Okay, we will move forward with a vote for John Trent as chairman of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. And for the people attending virtually, we will do a roll call vote. Okay. Commissioner Ron Robertson.
John Trent.
Commissioner Trent.
Yes.
Commissioner Ron Wesson.
Yes.
Commissioner Michael White.
Yes.
Congratulations, Commissioner Trent, for the chairman of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners.
Thank you.
At this time, the floor is open for nominations for vice chairman of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners.
I can nominate Mr. Donald Robinson for the vice chairman.
The nomination has been first and second. Are there any other nominations for vice chairman of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners? Okay. Again, we will take a vote for Commissioner Ron Robertson being the vice chair of the Virgin County Board of Commissioners and be able to do a roll call vote. Commissioner Ron Robertson.
Yes.
Commissioner Johnson.
Yes.
Commissioner Vaughn Wesley.
Yes.
Commissioner Michael White.
Yes.
Congratulations, Commissioner Robertson. You're the vice chair of the Virgin County Board of Commissioners.
Thank you, Buffalo.
At this time, we will have a 5-minute recess. We will reconvene at 6:00 p.m.
Here, we made it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, William. These stages are good. And bad,
dude. We're going to be there.
Yeah, I got to be careful. You know, they'll do what they have to say. That's a step. Go ahead. Yeah, let me see if I was like, looking pretty good.
Oh, yeah. The picture's there. It's been great.
It has been. Great for this. Oh, yeah, that's right. Let the people know that you can do it.
That's right.
Yes.
Good evening. I'd like to bring the meeting back to order, please. Next on the agenda, we're going to make a comment to the candidate.
First, getting down and thankful for all the blessings. Which we have on this school, and so that's why I am the person that I work with. And moving forward, I need 1 second of silence for a dear friend of mine, Dr. James West out of Wake County. Thank you. Dear friend of mine, 8 years ago, prepared for that. Well, next, a comment I'd like to make to the citizens of Virgin County to bring them up to speed with the high school. Virgin County High School football team made the second playoff with a new coach, head coach, a new athletic director, and a new principal. Not the citizens of Virgin County. No home games, no home field advantages that we have. So when you see the principal, the athletic director, and coach Darius West, a football coach, hey, count some praise, show them some love. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me say to my fellow commissioner, thank you for the honor of representing you as chairman of the last year. I think in my 11 years on the board so far, I think I might have been chair or vice chair about half of that time. But this past year was a real honor to represent all of you and the citizens of the county. I think we did some tremendous work, and I'm sure, and the leadership of our new chair, that's going to continue. But, you know, personally, it's always an honor, you know, to serve as chair. I mean, you don't have any more responsibility or any more authority than any other commissioner, but, you know, you get to kind of be that spokesperson or make comments or really to represent the decisions of the board. And that's always been an honor. I think we've worked together extremely well as a board. As any board, we should always have some disagreement, but we often might see things differently sometimes. But we've always made the effort to find the right solution. Sometimes that's a problem, and that can be a good thing. So I just want to say it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to the next 12 months. As most of you know, I have made the decision that I am not running for re-election. I see we have folks here from the elections office, and people will register starting today for my seat. And I think we're going to have a lot of great candidates, and but it's been an honor representing all of the citizens of Branch City. Thank you for the pleasure. Yeah.
First of all, I thank Commissioner Russell for serving the board and serving as chair. And I want to thank the rest of the county commissioners. And again, to reemphasize what Chairman Russell said, we don't always listen to one three. And, but we don't hold grudges to make things. We move on the line and keep moving to the next hurdle we get across. There's been plenty of focus this year. I think that we don't need to happen, but we will move through them quite, I think, vigorously through negotiations, debate, and getting things done for this county moving in the right direction. I would like to thank the board for putting this position. Again, I'll say it's special work that half the time that I've been on this board, I'm the chairman, or the vice chairman, and again, I'm serving the people of Berkeley County Commission for it. All right, public comments. Does anybody in the audience have any public comment? Yes, ma'am. If you're in the public comments, state your name and where you are.
Good evening, Chairman Trent, Vice Chair Robertson, congratulations, and commissioners. My name is Rachel Bellis, and I am here on behalf of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and our nearly 156,000 members and supporters in North Carolina alone. I would like to introduce you tonight to King. King is kept chained outside to the cinder block 24/7, 365 days a year. He had only a plastic barrel for shelter until PETA brought him a wooden doghouse for free. He and the other dogs on this property are often found without food or water, the small patch of dirt they have filled with garbage and feces. In the summer, the dogs have become infested with fleas and parasites, and in the winter, they struggle to stay warm in the tiny space they are allotted, which is the length of the chain. This is an address we have reported to animal control several times, the first in 2019, when one of the dogs named Black Boy had been severely injured in what looked to be a dog fight. The second time in 2022, when another dog on the property named Luna was bloated and showing signs of late stage heartworm disease. The owners in both cases refused to take the dogs for veterinary care or surrender them to PETA. Luna ended up being attacked and killed by an aggressive dog on the property named Bhutan, who eventually went on to attack King before being surrendered to PETA. There are thousands of dogs like these individuals being kept chained outside in all weather extremes in Berkeley County, often without even the basic necessities of life. We also found these puppies on the same property living in a filthy feces and mud-filled crate on the same property in August without any food, water, or shade. Please start taking this issue seriously. It is only getting worse, and we are finding dead, dying, and severely neglected dogs virtually every day in Berkeley County. Like Thor, who was found dead on his chain, unable and so tangled that he was unable to move even one foot. He was emaciated, and this is how we found him. Please think about these chain dogs when you're home tonight inside your warm houses with your own companion animals that you would never think about leaving outside in the cold. These dogs are no different from them, and they desperately need your help.
Thank you.
Update by Jason Duvall, Carolina Rebuilding Ministry.
Good evening, Chairman.
Evening.
Commissioners, how y'all doing this morning? This afternoon. This evening.
How's
my hair? I promise I won't keep you all here for 3 hours, Commissioner White.
I appreciate it.
It's not that bad. We normally hold the mic for a little while. No, in all sincerity, thank you so much. Congratulations on your appointment to the two of you. And for all who are watching, we'd like to thank you all for allowing us the opportunity to speak this evening. On behalf of Carolina Rebuilding Ministries, we extend our heartfelt gratitude to each one of you for your unwavering support and collaborative efforts in the revitalization of reconstruction efforts and initiatives across Burke County. Your commitment to rebuilding lives and homes has been the driving force for the positive changes that we witness on a daily basis. To our dedicated volunteers, to our partners, and to the resilient residents of Burke County, your strength and perseverance inspire us daily. Together, we are not just rebuilding structures, we're rebuilding hope, community, and restoring the very fabric of this county and the counties that we serve. Thank you for being the backbone of our shared mission. In closing, let us remember that the work we do is not just about bricks and mortar. It's about creating a foundation for a better tomorrow. And together, we all have the power, praise God, through His Son, by His Spirit, to shape the future of not only Burke County, but of the world. Thank you for your unwavering support, and may the Spirit of God, of community and collaboration, continue to guide us as we build a brighter and more resilient future for all. Although I've only been up here for a minute, I'd like to bring up Chris Nelson.
Good evening, Chair, new Chair, Commissioner Trent, previous Chair, Commissioner Wesson, and Vice Chair, Commissioner Robertson, Commissioner White, not here, Commissioner Balance, County Manager Vaughn, Legal, and the rest of the fabulous Burke team. I am Chris Nelson, Burke County resident and Carolina Rebuilds ERM's site manager and volunteer coordinator. Alongside our exec director, it is my just incredible pleasure to address each of you guys tonight. We are exuberant to be on the former Southwestern campus. It is incredible how God and how this county, how Washington County and around us is just, they're incredibly wrapping their arms around us and we're having a ball. I began my position, my ministry, with CRM 90 days ago. You guys read the statistics, so check this out. Since then, from September till now, we have hosted 32 teams. What that means is churches from this country have sent 32 teams of individuals. We are in our work clothes. We are in our work clothes tonight. We're nasty. We're Burke County Hog Nasty right now, okay? Behind me, I have Jersey Mike, who helped rebuild a home in Coleraine tonight. Jersey Mike is down from New Jersey. I have Tom. Tom is 2 years from retirement. Him and his wife are about to relocate to Burke County to dedicate their lives to doing what we're doing. Thank you for your assistance with us. Here's what I'm about to ask. We need some more skin in the game. Commissioners, we got a little merch for you tonight. County manager, legal. Was going to be a co-worker, but these guys scooped me up instead. We got a little merch for you. Come grab a shovel. Come grab a hammer. We want to put you on Facebook with us. We want to make you famous. To those that are listening online, pastors, folks out in our community, we are rebuilding your family's homes. We are rebuilding the homes of the people in your church, in your community, in your school. Listen to me. We have the funding to do the repairs for free. All we need is your time. Listen to the statistics. There's 15,000 people in this county. We are on an incredible growth trajectory where we almost repair 60 homes a year. We're getting a ministry that is moving in, and we're discussing with other government entities right now. We are on a trajectory in 10 years to have rebuilt 10% of the homes in this county. Who will jump in and help us? BRT is better together. We are better together. We have the funds. The Church of Jesus Christ is throwing in the money. The United States government has blessed BRT County. All we need are a few more hands to help us with a few more hammers to share the hope of Jesus Christ and restore hope in the homes of this family. May we approach the bench with a little merch.
We call it swag.
Thank you for your vision, man. Thank you. Your organization agrees to do what Jesus would have
to do. That's a must. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your vision.
Could we get a picture with the hats on?
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Jason. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Mr. Weston, you have a comment?
I do. First of all, I think all the citizens, how much of a journey that it's been getting Carolina rebuilding here and their commitment to this county. I got to do a full disclosure. I am the chair of the organization, so you know that. But there's a change, a tremendous job that they've done. But they've taken what was going to be a school that was going to, who knows what was going to happen to it. Not only did they come in, but they brought in a partner, Good Shepherd Food Pantry, that is now feeding almost 800 families a week in this county, right? And they needed the location to be able to expand. So putting these two partners together and the work that they've done, we have a real high percentage of home owners in this county. Most of them are elderly, and that home is the base of their wealth, generational wealth for them in this county. But they're in awful district pain, right? So when we are repairing homes, we're repairing families. We're keeping them here in this county, keeping them in their residence. So this is tremendous work. I know we have volunteers who come from virtually every state in this country, West Coast, North South, wherever, to do this work in BRT County. So those volunteers who are here with us today, thank you. Thank you so many of you.
Anybody else? If not, next on the agenda is going to be election update by election director before you do.
Good evening, commissioners.
Good evening.
County Manager Vaughn, members of the president this evening. I am here again with a few election updates for you, as I promised when I was here during the November election. So for the 2023 municipal election voter turnout, we had a total of 585 municipal voters out of a total of 3,264 who were actually eligible to vote this year, but we only had 585. So this gave us a 17.9% voter turnout. And also for the voter ID summary, this is backing up with the questions you wanted to know about how would it work out, Commissioner Weston, last time. So I must say it went very well. Our voters were very much prepared for the voter ID law. And out of the 585 voters that we did have in this election, only one person had to do a photo ID self-report. So that shows that all the hard work that we did by going to all of the town hall meetings, me sending out several emails, putting in newspaper, it paid off because we only had one person that had to do a photo ID law. So everyone was very much prepared for the new law change. And with the upcoming election this year, I would make sure, of course, I will be doing the same thing. And I just appreciate my staff and my board members for coming along with me to all the meetings that we had to do. Next is the district. I'm sure many of you have heard about. The General Assembly has enacted new districts for the State House, State Senate, and U.S. House for the 2024 election season. And the deadline to update all those lines was December 1st. And I have did that. But according to our new maps, some of our districts will not change. So some of those that will not change will be our North Carolina House District. We will still remain in District 23. Our U.S. Congressional District, we will still remain in District 1. So those two did not change for Burton County. However, we did change our Senate District. We are now in Senate District 1 instead of Senate District 3. But there is a lawsuit pending on those new district lines that were enacted by the General Assembly. So if there are any updates or changes, we will be receiving guidance from the North Carolina State Department on that when the time comes. And Commissioner Weston, you said this earlier, texts are filing today for the upcoming 2024 primary election season. And the Burton County Board of Elections will conduct the 2024 partisan primary election on Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Polls are open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And the voter registration deadline is Friday, February the 9th at 10 o'clock. At 5 o'clock p.m. Sorry about that. And candidate filing did begin today, December the 4th at 12 p.m. And it ends on Friday, December 15th. At 12 o'clock p.m. And filing fees are acceptable only by check or money order, and they are based on the 1% of the starting base salary. So that's how you get those filing fees for those offices. And also, this is actually the first filing for this election. Next summer in June, we'll be filing for our Board of Education districts and also our soil and water. So they actually file in June of next year. And of course, candidates seeking election to office may file the notice of candidacy at our Burton County Board of Elections office at 210 West Watson Street. And some of the offices that are available, of course, would be our two commissioner districts, which is District 1 and District 4. And the filing fee is $110.78. And with this being a partisan primary election, there are some requirements to that. Of course, you must be 21 years old. We must be registered voters and live in the district, or even District 1 or District 4 for those provisional seats. And with this being a partisan primary election, you must be affiliated with your political party 90 days at the time that you come to file it off. So you do have to be registered and affiliated with your party 90 days when you come to file. Okay, our next seat will be the register of deeds. That filing fee is $519.28. Your candidate must be 21 years old. There's no district requirement, meaning there's no such thing as the District 1, District 2 is a countywide district for the registered DC. And also, once again, the candidate must be registered with the political party 90 days at the time of filing. And for our North Carolina House District 23, the filing fee for that is $139.51, which is set by General Statute 163, so that does not change. And the candidate must be 21 years old. You must be a registered voter and live in District 1 for 1 year in this district right here, for 1 year in North Carolina House District 3. And also, you must be affiliated with the political party 90 days. And our last one, North Carolina Senate District 1, same price, $139.51, again set by General Statute 163. The candidate this time must be 25 years old, a registered voter, and live in North Carolina 2 years, and live in the district for 1 year. So a different stipulation for those two state seats. And again, also, you must be affiliated with a political party 90 days at the time you come to file with us. So anyone has any questions for me? Anything about that? Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
Oh, thank you so much. And congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you,
Chair, and also to you, Commissioner Robinson.
And the rest of you, go. And maybe they need to hear me. This is the first time that our board of election director does an outstanding job with updates, information to everyone only.
I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
The turnout sounds like, a little higher, 17%. We didn't have a lot of really challenged elections on the municipal side, some, but, we had done very well in the last year. Things were record last year in the presidential election. I think we're going to do well again this year as well.
Yeah, you always have lower turnout when it comes to town elections, and it always grows larger. We have the federal.
We need every citizen to come out and express, their vote. And then the vote is their voice.
And as I always say before I sit down, we're going to do all we can to make sure every citizen is aware of all the new law changes. And of course, I always end with, if anyone has any questions, those are here, those who are listening to me, please do not hesitate to call my office, and we will surely answer any questions you have.
Thank you very much. County Manager, I think you have an introduction for us, don't you?
I do. I'm very excited to introduce to everyone our new Emergency Services Director, Mr. David LaFon. And I'll allow him to introduce himself, but I have to say that he has over 27 years with NC Forest Service, which has included overseeing 39 northeastern counties in North Carolina with law enforcement investigations and emergencies. And his most recent position there, he oversaw law enforcement and emergency operations as needed in the state and nationally. He has several certifications, including being a certified fire investigator. And I will stop there and allow you to introduce yourself further.
Congratulations.
Thanks, sir. Good evening, Commissioner. Appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with you guys. Appreciate you, County Manager Vaughn, for the opportunity to come and pay back the citizens that I've worked for. Growing up in Orlando, North Carolina, on Palmer Street, you know, never thought I would get the chance to go and do some of the things I've done and be able to bring some of those talents back home. I look forward to serving the citizens of Berkshire County and look forward to serving and working with you guys. You know, I think we have a lot of things that we do. There's a lot of good things going on in the county. And I think it'll be good if we start building the future and moving in the right direction. And if I can do anything to help you guys, please let me know. Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the EMS net account review by Dave Pickering.
Good evening, Commissioners. Manager, thank you for allowing us to come back and to answer the questions that have been presented to us. A few weeks ago, the county manager and I had a chance to speak. We went over some of the revenue as well as what the county had been doing as far as transporting during the last few months. That's my last report to the commissioners. He also asked for me to prepare some information for him, which I presented to him last week to give him a chance. And I believe it is included in your packet this evening. The first thing the county manager had asked for is for a breakdown on the quarterly on page 2. Are you controlling or?
I'm not. IT is, but he can hear you. He can navigate it, or you can navigate it. You can simply ask you.
Okay, guys.
You can say that.
There you go. Okay. There we go. Be fine. The first thing he asked me for was a list of information breaking down the county revenue month by month, quarter by quarter for the last few years.
We were looking. Excuse me, David. Can you enlarge that a little bit? Can it be enlarged?
Yeah, sure. We're able to enlarge.
Because we're going to be trying to follow the method.
But it, it is. It
I understand that. It is in the book. We need to enlarge it up there so we can go down and see it goes down.
Ready to shut it off.
Yeah.
I'm not controlling it.
You're not. So are you able to do me maybe enlarge it?
She responded to
much larger.
Here we go.
What we were looking at and what the county manager asked us to present was a breakdown between the two organizations. As you're well aware, we collect on behalf of the county, and all the information is broken down between the 911 services and the non-emergent transport services, broken down as separate entities so that we can report back to the county and we can trace the profitability revenues that are brought into the county on each part of the organization. Over the last few quarters, the county manager asked me to go back to the beginning of 2020 and break it down month by month and then the total by quarter to give us a quarterly total for each part of the organization. As you can see, in July 20, we were still in the midst of the COVID, but we're still seeing revenue numbers in excess of $300,000. Can you scroll down for me? Or not? I'm sorry, I have to scroll again. As we move forward, as the force of COVID went through us, you can see the numbers continue to go up to $349,000 brought in each month. For the most part, our non-emergent each quarter was bringing in $125,000 to $150,000, while the 911 services were bringing over almost $250,000 on a quarterly basis. I continue bringing that information all the way through 2022 as we finished last fiscal year. As you can see, we continue to see an increase. A lot of that had to do with the fact that we had increased call volume within the county as we saw more transports. It was also the increase in revenues that were sent back through the North Carolina Medicare PHP program. That increased our revenues. And as you can see, we were approaching almost $250,000 on a quarterly basis from the county. As we moved into 2023, we still see the numbers increasing. We had some very good months as we finished last fiscal year. We moved into this year where we were actually, as the worst of COVID was hopefully behind us, we were over $500,000 on a quarterly basis, collecting about $330,000 on average from the 911, and on the non-emergent anywhere roughly about $175,000 a quarter. The final thing that the county manager had asked for was to bring up a complete total, and I brought these up for the last three fiscal years that we've completed, as well as fiscal 2024 that we are now in. Fiscal 21, 1.4 million almost, 1.38. Obviously, the effect of COVID, non-emergent was way down in those days. As we came into fiscal 2022, up to 1.8 million. And last year in fiscal 2023, which we just finished, a little over 2 million. If the commissioners remember, one of the goals that we had set as we've been through this over the last few years is we wanted to see over $2 million in revenue from EMS billing. And we hit it last year, $2.085 million. 1.3 came from the 911 service, and 735,000 came from the .net. So continue to see the increase as we got further away from COVID, as the information continued flowing into us, and we continue to build. Over the last 3 years, 3+ years now that we're 4 months into 2024, our company has put in over $6 million for the county and brought in $6 million to the conference to help offset the cost of EMS.
Question for you.
Yes, sir.
From the days of 2021, 2022, you don't have 21, that's fine, but 2022, 2023, how many total non-emergency transport calls we handle?
That will be right here. Sorry, this is... This is broken down by year. Billable calls. Now, please note that this is billable to us. The county does conduct more transports and does respond to more calls throughout the county. And this is what has been submitted to our company, and that we met the requirements for billing and calls that we have billed successfully. In 2021, fiscal 21, a little over 3,000 on 911, on the net, a little over 2,000, a little over 5,000 total billable calls was sent into our system. Again, that was the worst of COVID, and we saw across not just in Bertie County, but throughout Eastern North Carolina, we saw call volumes go down as we worked through the pandemic.
Prior to the COVID, what were we averaging a month that time as far as call volume?
I can have that information. It was approximately 6,000 calls a year.
So you're talking what, about 450 to 500 calls a month?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's right. Now, when we get to COVID, you see a drastic drop in calls.
Particularly on the non-emergent side, yes.
And then when we took and we look at 21, 22, we still haven't recouped from prior to COVID. Is that correct?
Well, in fiscal 2022, we have got increases. You see, in one year, we went from 2,000 almost 3,000 calls, a 50% increase as we move further away from the pandemic. 3,200 was on the 911, 2,945. From 1 year to the next, we went from 5,000 to 6,200, an increase of over.
Before I make it, David, we're still off 50% of our call volume.
We are off a percentage that's pre-COVID. 50%. Yes, sir.
A pre-COVID. That's the point I'm making.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. As we finish 2022, 6,200, and that shows. This has a mind of its own in mind. And as we went into 2023, we maintained a consistent call volume. We didn't see an increase. 3,200 on the 911 side, 2,600 on the non-emergent. So we're down slightly on non-emergent, up slightly on the 911. Finished year with almost 6,000 billable transports in the vault. It was almost a complete wash from what was previously listed on there.
All right, if I'm looking at it correctly right there, it showed a downgrade as far as call volume at the end of the year in April of 2023. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And we're still 50% off the button, correct?
Yes, sir. We are off on the non-emergent side.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yes, sir.
But 911, we've got to have.
911 has been consistent. We have seen a partial growth over the years as the county has increased, but it has stayed mainly stable over the last few years.
Sorry, so typically we're still 50% off the prior to COVID.
Oh, a significant portion, yes, sir.
And
we are.
First transport.
On a non-emergent transport.
So that means our, as far as a cash flow or money coming in, revenue, will be off also.
Right, it is. It's the same situation. It's a direct correlation to call volume.
And is it off at least 50% or 40% or 30%?
Probably closer to 30%.
Okay, and that is because of Medicaid increased some of those calls from $76 to $1,000, correct?
The people that have enrolled in the program, in the DHPM program, not everyone in the county has enrolled in the program, so we are still seeing some $70 reimbursements from Medicaid versus the $1,000 that we have for those that have enrolled in the DHP program.
Which you also know that all of the people are putting people in low cash transport charge for $70 if they're doing it. That was a favorite the truck.
I would assume not, based on the current expenses.
That'd be that. That's fine.
Mr. Chair, I've got a question about PHP folks, because I think that's very important. When did we first see the increase in PHP? In PHP?
Two years ago.
What part of the year? What we want to do is get a real good, you guys are reporting to us on the revenue. Right, but that's another side of the equation. We got to look at the cost.
Right.
So we need to know exactly what the projection is going to be going forward in PHP for the full year.
Right.
And then the cost associated with Medicaid expansion and discount is going to be significant. Our target is 1,700 additional, households people who qualify. We're still not sure what that's going to pay out for us in terms of all volume, right?
Right.
People have access to coverage, likely to use it, and people on Medicaid, so we get the higher trip for that, right?
And the additional call volume is, I know we obviously have a new leader within the county, new people, and the biggest thing is coming forward is the call volume on the non-emergent side. We met earlier today with the county manager and discussed call volume, where it was going, the trends that we were seeing, and what we expected. The county manager and I came up with what we think would be the best idea is allow our company to come back and put together a proposal, basically to give you this information to show you what further future projections would be as far as revenue on the non-emergent and the 911, as well as what the PHP differences would be with the new 1,700 enrollments. Bring those numbers to you, what we think is legitimate and realistic non-emergent collection rate, and then allow the commissioners to decide how that it translates into what the commissioners in the county want to provide for the citizens.
All right, my next question is, said that, when can you get that back to us? The last time we had this conversation, we wanted other information that we hadn't gotten. It's been approximately 6 months or better.
What information was that?
It was information when it came to coming back, I assume, with the different revenue streams and things of that nature, where we were at with different stuff, which was 6 months ago.
Yeah, and Mr. Cooper is here, so I can't speak to that, whether or not he reached out to the speaker or not.
Okay, all I can say is
it was submitted. I'll be glad to forward that information to you directly.
If you can, get it to us.
Okay.
Okay. I want to make sure you guys can only report to us on the revenue side. You don't get involved, or do you, in terms of looking at expenses associated?
We don't know the direct expenses. I mean, obviously, it's available in a county budget, but we don't know the direct expenses.
Well, let me ask you this question. You do know this throughout the state because you do handle a lot of people other than us, correct?
Right. We have about 70 clients statewide.
What do you think the cost of doing business has done since we've had such an inflation rate in the United States in the last 3 years? What do you think the cost increases have been?
I would assume about 15%, 20%, 25%.
Okay.
And then, of course, the county here, you have the additional that some of our non-emergent clients don't have of providing benefits, state benefits, that some of the competitors and non-commissioned, the non-emergent companies in this area don't provide the same benefit level that the county provides.
All right, so we say 15% to 25%, like you just said, we're to average it out at 20%, correct?
I'm sure you have those numbers.
Do you guys do any of that work? Have you ever done any work looking at really what we're looking for is the net profit of that? We need to know what the revenue side of the cost costs. Have you guys had any experience looking at cost for this kind of work, whether it's emergency management, non-emergency transport, whatever? Have you had any specific experience doing that?
Obviously, we work with a number of counties and non-emergent companies, not just here in Eastern North Carolina, but throughout the Carolinas and Georgia. And that's one of the questions we look at, particularly when we provide updated contracts, new information, proposals. You know, we're looking at what the cost would be. So, yes, we would have information available to show what revenues would be and what type of call volume would be necessary to achieve those revenues.
In other words, a break-even.
I think it would be different for every client, depending on the conditions.
For every client, it would be different as far as cost, volume, as far as what our costs are, what the return on investments could be. So I guess what we need to do, County Manager, you got other information for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? All right.
Thank you.
Updates on projects by consultant on the team. Campaign, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Everyone, good to see you. All right, 12 glasses of water, general update. Let's see, erosion. Science architecture with the engineers have completed what they feel is going to be the final control for that access path going down the beach while that path that is eroding. So they're working on getting out of place. Please keep in mind that Chesson is under warranty with us for a year. So we'll just be updating us on. There's two washes. Whenever we get a hard rain, it just goes, water washes down that slope, crosses over the path in two places, and then creates a deep rip. So they thought they had it correct, but it's still washing out a little bit. Small things that we're still waiting on, caps for the posts, like the post that's out there by Galbray Road and entrance to Chabalas Water. There's also matching caps that are placed throughout the site. Still waiting on those to be delivered. Prescribed burn, I talked to Vertee Forest Service today, Gary Popper, and they will be giving up with Mr. Devon to present a contract. It's $35 an acre to do a prescribed burn, and we're looking at about, I don't know, maybe 20 acres worth right there. It's just the pine, it's not any of the field. It's exactly where we have the primitive campsites. So they're monitoring it at estuary rise level. And we'll also get up with Sama Creek State Park Chihuahua University continues to do work. The van was out there last week when we were there Thursday. They're producing some really great site work, not only for their reference, and a number of the graduating seniors who I spoke to, they're interested in being volunteers at the project. But keep in mind that 3 years ago, when we provided money through our environmental enhancement grant, that Chihuahua University would be supplying our teachers with materials so that we can continue on with our teachers. Activity. Usage this time of year is, as you would imagine, still beautiful out there. We did have a theft of a security camera coming off of the forest road to go through the ponds and out into the field. So I feel like once we get broadband down there, we can upgrade our security system. Also, site-wide, I think we sent y'all an email a couple weeks ago. This is for the Alpha publication. We copied back the postscript for y'all, and that has a lot to do with site-wide. Let's see. All right, funding for the 2024 season. We have a copy of an Excel spreadsheet. When we met during the October 16th work session, y'all asked us to produce a budget for 12 blocks of water, what we think we might need to be completely ready for this next summer season. And Don and I have been working on that spreadsheet. So our vision to have everything up and running is we would get the equipment purchased, we would get the equipment barn located on site, and that includes an office. We would get the road repaired, we'd get the forest manager hired, and zero in on the campus, which would be somebody who could live year round in the RV, and the county has some RVs in great condition. And get our volunteers in place in the online reservation system and some offers for us for use for the primitive camping area for growing for their products. It's a great system, it's run by local people. And we think on the phone, if somebody wants a camp, they need local knowledge. So we are looking at $143,000 for all of this. That includes one-time purchases, trash cans all the way down to black water transport for locating the camp host cut by the camp host.
That now cover the road repair?
Well, the estimate that we received is $30,000, and that's for banking it up in the middle, the requesting it in the center.
Anywhere in Portland in with bad terms and dirt?
Yeah. Yeah. I can send you a copy of what this means.
What's the deal with broadband and where do we stand?
Broadband is $55,000. That's the quote from Roanoke Electric, five. And we did not get the request from the Southeast Crescent Regional Commission. So we've got a year before what I hear is broadband coming down Walmart. So
There are a lot of grants around broadband expansion, especially around both educational opportunities and things like that. We need to kind of look at.
We just heard that.
And that was from which channel? There are a lot of different channels.
Yeah, thank you.
I think we ought to be able to get that. There's no way that we should.
That is not included.
Broadband. I know. So we can take a look at that. There are a lot of other sources for broadband.
Yeah. But we can send you
all
a copy of what Vernon's breakdown is.
Okay, so just quickly, you can look at the list. Highlighted in blue is one-time purchases that are equipment. And we've been talking to USDA for a community facilities grant. We could get up to $50,000 to go towards this. If we can get that grant from them for this equipment, then we'll be knocking $50,000 off in the white building. So again, if we could bring this up at the next meeting, work session that we have, we just didn't understand for the budget that we were asked to provide, where do we go? Because of course, we'd like to get it up and running before the season, not wait until Texas or next year starts out. And maybe by that time, I will have a more definitive answer. We'd like to, again, as we get closer to the season, produce a project website that's external to the county. If that's a problem or not, I don't know. We just have more flexibility in terms of layout. Again, we can take that up.
I think probably one of the best things we can do is go ahead and set up in January for a work session. Very much to this, and getting some power of what's happening, where we're at with all these different grants. We've probably got to do so. What we do is, county manager, we get back with the rest of the information purpose. They come up today to give everybody to think about it and get up set up.
Yeah, and I have Bradley on my list. Also, in preparation for the season, our funders would really like to see a ribbon cutting, a formal opening, and it would be great timing. Set something up maybe right before the kids go to school or right after, not sure, but if we could start zeroing in on that date. We have everything done. We have the camp office in place, we have the rest of the signage up. We have the big camera signs on the roadway. And then the tall glass of water plaque, the bronze plaque. And on that plaque, we'd also remember we'd like to add on every time we have a funder come to the table, we want to be able to add on. We're excited about that. By the possibility. So, but again, we can take that out as to what a specific date would be. Okay, tall glass of water phase two. The architectural and engineering money, we talked about this a few months ago. Phase two would be the stage, the outdoor education pavilion, and the Rivers to Sounds Education Center, dedicated to Dr. Riggs. And of course, that also includes the lawn for seating in front of the stage. So to get that moving forward and to understand exactly what our costs are, we need to come up with the architectural steps. So to do that, we need some funding. We can apply again to USDA. It's the RBDG, the Rural Business Development Grant, for $150,000. And we did that for tall glass of water phase one. So any day now, that grant opportunity will be announced. So we keep tracking it. And I'm anticipating coming back to you in January to ask approval for that. We already have an action place from a PARDAC grant. And so we'll be able to move forward with that. The grant is due February 28th. So I'll give Juan a heads up, and if we can swing it, maybe we can get a second grant also with the answer.
That's good. Thank you.
I made a mistake. I know we have to do this thing systematically, but where are we with the army? And that is not in part two.
That is not in part two. It's only in, it's not in part two because it's a different type of construction. That's all. In terms of keeping track of funding.
There's a problem out there for that. Because I knew that was
there is one time. There is no.
Yeah,
there right. is no. But there was the year and a half
ago. Right.
So
that's the part.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously it's not in our budget.
Right.
But if the funds are available, we can get in on that. That's a source of revenue, significant revenue that we can use to do some of our work. So
it's a question that we can dive deeper in January, because I think we need to make a choice probably between you pursue phase two or you wanting to pursue phase three.
Or we want to do phase two, but we want to carve out some specific time to look at that one specific thing and phase three and move that forward.
But keep in mind our funders are the main funders. So we, if we're going to apply in cycle one, we have to choose which of the funding.
And Jamie was talking to, but I think it's like what you know, we're coming down to the guys who are infrastructure laid out at sewer system, electrical, all these different things we're going to go through anyway, or do more. So in January, if you can have that information ready for us, so we can make some logical decisions when you make a thing that how we're going to look at the type they need assistance to us.
Occupancy tax, we have a copy of a schedule. And let's see, the occupancy tax group met with Chris Kavanaugh and Sean Strategies on November 17th. It was Alan Castillo, his father, Mike Esper, Bacano, Franklin Williams, David Scarborough, and Vice Chair Michael White. And we have lots of questions for Chris, very informative. And our goal is to pay attention to this. If you look at this schedule, we think we should sit down with the commissioners and hear all of your questions. Then we need about a month and a half, 2 months to go out to the public and talk about what this vacationer's tax is, the occupancy tax, get the facts out there. And then have back to the commissioner and have a more complete meeting. So I think we have enough time. And if we have a consensus on the board and you know, right after we have a public meeting, then we're ready to move forward with adopting tax. And if we do that, it'd be nice to do it before the next budget year. So that's why we have to schedule just to keep us on time. But our big focus here is that. Pardon me?
Everything needs to align around budget planning.
Right. So what we did was then David's reviewed this in terms of budget. Quickly, the coastal resiliency, George Wood, Adam Castle, and Tracy White met with Andy Deal October 11th, 2023. And this is about the hydrology study that's needed in the Shire River system. Before we really put into place any engineering or after engineering implementation options. And so Dr. Deal needed a pretty hefty set of data. And what they did was talk to Dr. Biggs, and they went back to the original team from the NCSU, and they're right now getting all of that data. But then Andy Deal will be able to cost on what
think the estimate would be to do a hydrology study. And we will be able to pay for that engineering service through the grant that would be so just making sure that we're staying on top of the steps that we've worked with. Any questions? Housing update. Merrill Flood, we've spoken about Merrill and the ECU team before, but he's Director of Research and Innovation at the Campus Development. And been involved in housing for many years. Responsible for a lot of Pitt County's diversity in housing. So we met at the county offices on November 15th, and made sure we confirmed that our goal is an action plan to Berkey County identify housing locations, infrastructure needed, and offer a variety of markets, whether it's a rent or purchase. And the keyword there, as it expressed, it represents a variety of options. And the key to us is that when we've got some paper in hand, we can go out and get a description. We will have done the research with a whole lot. We've got infrastructure, we've got housing space over here, which are missing for a model of infrastructure. We need to come to those schools. But without any kind of research, we can't take that step. Anything else to say?
About that, to talk specifically, I talked about the investment we made in that area. Block of the work and come in without
the housing consortium. So that's a separate effort that's going on for eight different counties. What? $800,000+. And each county, of course, is different. And it's for shovel ready projects, land acquisition. Each county has to make their case. The more readily available that a project is, the better. That's the goal is this money will be available annually. But the goal is about the SIMOP, they want to see something happen. So that the Vertees case can be utilized to move it.
I think the thing I want citizens need to understand is the board made a decision to invest part of their money into this consortium because it would be more likely for us to get a better return for that money than the Fed and it's paid off. We put in, how much did we put in? I mean,
there was a prediction about how much money we would need to get it started up. We actually had a vote. Put that aside in ARPA funds.
That's correct.
So we have not extended any yet.
Right.
You don't recall it all of those?
Yeah.
I don't recall it all of
those. It's changed since the initial amount. I think the initial amount was something like 57.
That's the question.
Around that amount. And then it changed. It won't be as much at this point.
But now that money is going to come back to a potential of $853,000 mm-hmm. that these five counties can share. Right. The return on that, basically, whatever we do, it's going to be likely to be very, very high. Great investment. And that's what the citizens need to understand. How are we using their funds in order to be able to leverage the additional possibility of uncovering? We can't do it just with our own dollars. We have to look at the
well, let me ask you a question. The amount of money that's sold in the account for going to the $857,000. How is that going to be divided? But one time before, they were talking about it could be divided once evenly amongst all counties or municipalities or something of that nature. Have they ever come to a decision on how this is going to be? Is it going to be a point system? Is it going to be some sort of scoring of who's got shovel-ready projects? What the deal is? Has anybody had any conversation about this?
I do not know.
Yes, so there will be a committee who makes a decision. I don't think they have gotten into the details about whether it would be a point system or the criteria for determining, but it will be a committee who's determining which projects are funded.
I just don't want the citizens to worry. We're not going to be $857,000. This is numerous counties that are involved with $857,000.
if they divided it out, you're probably talking hundreds of thousands of dollars piece, but they divided out amongst the counties that are in there, okay? And so, anyhow, I want to be clear with everybody in the audience, and your citizens, what this is all about. But, so, go ahead.
Moving on.
Please.
It's on list.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Let's get through it. Come on. We got a lot to go.
Destination Bertie. All right. 11-16 DVD visit between January 22nd and 29th. Goal is to meet with the Project Oversight Committee and then pan out through the county for smaller focus group meetings. And this is all, again, for the travel and tourism project. More on that later. 5.5 emergency response appropriation. I hear this morning that that funding will be coming to Bertie in the next I'm anticipating that there would be a package attached to it. I just wanted to hear the timelines and all. Your new EMS person is aware and on it. Water and Sewer Summit with NCDQ, just an update, December 7th for Greenville. Hillary Sherman, EDA, we have a visit scheduled to occur on the 11th, 3:30 for Washington. And then there's a, we've been invited to a Waterway Challenges Summit. That's where Representative Davis come to us in January 23rd and 4th in Greenville. In Bertie's inviting them at the table because of all the different postal zones. Strategic plan. We have been shuttling in content. I'm sorry, about 7 days behind in getting a web frame on tape. That's why I need to get you excited. So I'll get out with you on it then, probably by the end of the week.
All right. Thank you. All right, next on the agenda is board appointments for Tri County Airport Authority. They've asked for an appointment, and the appointment is the asking of the economic development director, Franklin Williams.
Correct.
Right. Do we have any other?
No other questions.
Any questions? Franklin Williams is. Second. Yeah, first and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Consent agenda. Approval of registered deeds, fees report. I'm going to go down the line here a little bit and see if we can get something in that. Approved registered deeds, fees report, number 2083. Line number two is going to be approved minutes for open and closed session, November 6, 2023. And the 2023 Memorandum of Agreement, North Carolina State Extension, and we're going to do that separate, okay? But the first two, can I have a motion on that, please?
So move to.
All right, thank you. We got a motion. We have a second.
Sure.
All right, we have a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Lauren, you want to talk about the 2023 Memorandum of Agreement for North Carolina State Extension of Bertie County Board of Commissioners?
Yes, sir, I do. So this is an update of the Memorandum of Understanding that was last presented in 2006. And the most significant thing that the board should consider is what they call the lock-in provision when it comes to the payment of cooperative extension employees. That kind of requires counties to match the any increases that the state will provide to the employees. We're under the current option where we have where we are what they call an opt-out addendum, and that's where we are right now. So my recommendation is Ms. Director Barrow agrees with that. We discussed that recommendation would be to opt out of the lock-in provision and to approve the payment.
Okay, you have a motion, please.
Mr. Motion that we accept the agreement, move on the agreement, but with the opt-out.
Is your second, please?
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Bertie County Juvenile Crime Prevention Council bylaws.
How much you have on?
The only comment I have is the chair, Ms. Laurie Cherry, requested that the board, if you can take a look at these, I recommend approval motion of the updates to our legislative.
Okay. And have a motion in that place.
I'll make a motion that we accept the recommendation to approve the updates bylaws, council bylaws of the JCPC.
Have a second.
Okay.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Thank you. Budget amendment. We got that. Here he comes.
It's a simple budget amendment for the tax office to add to increase their budget for the audit for the business of first office. So we
All right, we got a motion, please.
I'll make a motion that we approve this of the risk.
Thank you, Ken. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Bond for Bertie County officials, that's our interest.
Correct. This is something that is done annually in December. The board is requested to approve the bonds for our Bertie County officials, including the tax administrator, the sheriff, the registered team, and the vice officer.
Okay. Can we have a motion on this, please?
So we need the motion that we accept the bonds for the Bertie County officials.
You have a second? All right, and first and second, all in favor say aye. Okay, discussion agenda D, surplus property bid review.
How do y'all want to see? As a professional memory, there was 15 parcels of land. Personal office furniture, three vehicles, office equipment. Total, if accepted, that we receive is $188,100. That does not include legal costs, does not include auctioneer's costs.
What's your question?
I feel like the contract to read the auctioneer terms are their personal problem and real problem. There were five parcels that we had reserved. 10 properties that were foreclosed. I'm recommending that we accept the all the parcels again foreclosed. The five, y'all will need to make a decision on whether to accept or reject. So we can go through those right quick. The old gym and DSS had $119,000 reserve. The high bid was
$18,700.
The next food bank, the $88,000 reserve. And a high bid of $66,500.
That's the house, correct?
Correct.
We did not get what we thought we were going to get for the other one. This property is still a lot of value, right? And we're appropriate for George. We should move with additional ways of selling those properties. Not that we should just walk away from it. But we need to still try to get as close as we possibly can to even know the value of this, not just to sit around and
no, I agree. And we can discuss that in the January work session.
The entrance to DSS.
I'm sorry, man.
The entrance when you turn it into DSS, the right hand side of the retaining bond, had a reserve of $54,000 and a high bid of $41,000.
But that land itself was unbuilding also.
Just the chain link fence or a retaining wall. The other kind of sit lane.
How much land is it?
Yes. That approximately 300 feet on Jasper Table 1.
One thing I'm good at it. 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 I'm good at it
is interested in developing that project.
I would be innovative with support. Like I said, to me, that's going to be a part for me. Everybody else consensus, we're good.
Except
Doug. Doug, you're good on?
Yeah.
You're good with Doug.
Next is the Holden Agricultural Extension Office. The reserve of $35,000 and a high bid of $13,250.
But that building doesn't have to be torn down. Isn't that the building that's been flooded? I don't know how many times. That's what I was looking at the land bank, $10,300.
Yeah, but they can come in and do what they want to report. They can rehab it and do the pump. Is that correct, Johnny?
What's that?
If they want to rehab that building, they can rehab the building, correct?
Yep. As far as I know, because there's no. There's no grant money or anything by a program.
Exactly. Another thing is that the town of Windsor has said that they may be interested in bidding as well. Mm-hmm. So, get rid of
that. Yep.
And that's something you might want to give the county attorney. If you're not going to accept this bid, town comes in later and says, we want to buy. And there was there a time limit, a waiting period, so many days.
Once they reject it under the agreement, you have to pay Richard Rush $1,000 for each piece that's rejected. But other than that, there's no time to discuss. So it makes that, as long as they do well, since they're a municipality, they can make an offer and quit them.
Right.
You know, they're not like you have a
phone. Can we turn that down? But
they didn't make an offer in this town.
No.
County need to have a great interest in their property too, because when they have the big court, they know where there's a plot what over there. Plus, the county owns, I think the town owns the community building across the street. They need people need parking too. So
we own that corner,
right?
You know, so
right. And the last one was the 10 acres of woodlands behind Green Cross Baptist Church, a reserve of $9,800 and a high bid of
$23,750. We had 10 acres?
10 acres.
Okay. And what was the bid?
$23,750.
And what was the reserve?
$9,800.
So, it was a lot of
us. So,
I assume you accept that. That was actually, I don't know the dealing going on with that, but that was donated to the county in 2009.
We're good.
Well,
that's
it.
Okay. Right. You didn't look through the ODS.
Yeah,
the only thing we didn't do was the personal property yet, right?
Right. Did y'all want to go through the personal property?
No, I don't know.
Okay. It's $10,100 total for everybody.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Can you need
to vote? Okay. I have a motion as far as including the goods that we discussed and accepting the offers that we have and denying the offers that we presented also. Take a motion that we approve as the definite
item. Approve or not
approve. Okay. One second. We have first or second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was still writing my notes. I apologize.
Can you make some recommendations for us? How we move forward, still with another topic, what we need to do. We talk about, especially that the place on the Good Shepherd Building and some of those things, we were the value of those things. They didn't really get the exposure they needed on the compliance. What are we going to
do?
We're in a work session in January.
I
agree.
That's a better way to do it. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Just stick the sign on there ourselves.
I know. I'm just saying, we need a broker that is as an entity.
Right.
Before y'all turn one of these over to a realtor, I know you bid on the food bank property. Mm-hmm. I think you go back to them, they'll buy it, which you have to deserve. I may be wrong about that, but I know who they are.
Right, so we can't do that.
Yeah, right. I said, oh, shit. I'm just saying you don't affect 10% of
the yeah, as well as some of the other bids, the same thing is true. Because, you know, nobody outbid him, so he put a little bid and that's it. Thinking that we might accept it, but we never take that. So we come back to him and say,
I just happen to know that one is,
yeah, it's a premium piece of cross here.
That was, somebody's got to use for it to use it.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's make a phone call and find out.
What's up?
Make a phone call to the person and see if they can
help. Well, I can help you with that one.
Yeah, I don't know that person. I don't have the phone number.
I know
okay.
I talked to him about this big property, but I didn't see they made the bids. Mm-hmm. Judge, there's one other question because I got asked this so much times. Is there any asbestos and OVSS property out there? Because that was what kept a bunch of people from getting a lot of money. It was fears that they were going to do.
It's never been tested as far as I know. I mean, a cinder block building, cinder block and metal.
Right, I didn't know. A couple
of
people asked me, and I said, I don't know
about that.
I'd ask you.
One of the things that I was giving great detail, and Jeremy knows that there is a possibility of us being able to remove those buildings without any cost to the county.
That's something that I don't know. Before you tear it down, they have to get it. That's business.
Okay. All right. That's it.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you.
Commissioner, it has come to our attention that because commissioners are not full-time employees and don't work 30 more hours per week, that commissioners are not eligible for full coverage with the state health plan like other full-time employees are. So the guidance that we've been given is that each commissioner is able to in the future get a plan from the marketplace, and if the board chooses to, then the county can reimburse that commissioner for that plan.
Well, I'd like to say that this is nothing new. This is something that the government has been supplying to county commissioners since I've been a county commissioner, and prior to me being a county commissioner. Mr. Wilson, I think you know that also. And I think that we make a motion to approve this bill to proceed or keep that on the line. Yeah. Is there a motion on it?
I'll make a motion.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. Yeah. I'm really quick. So let's, that, because I had two thoughts, and neither of them are positive. But so I would rather us motion, because if it's not spelled out, I would rather motion, like, just talk about it. If y'all two that have it, you have one more year, like, I'm assuming you're going to get it out. But if you finish out this term with y'all, if us have your insurance the next year and then be done with it, and let's end it, since we know it's not necessarily correct. That's my first thought. And then I'm going to counter offer just to make a point, because like Ron Robertson and me, we'll say me as well. If it is a benefit to the county commissioners, right, you're getting an additional $8,000 that the county is paying for where Ron Robertson or Michael White is not. So I'm not saying I need more money or want more money. I'm just trying to get it to. Right. I'm not arguing. I don't try to have insurance since, right,
Let me put it to you like this, all right? You know, prior to 2016, Bertin County had their own insurance broker. We weren't going through the state plan. There was no state plan for us to go through. Okay? All county commissioners were covered under that plan. Is that not correct, Mr. Vaughn?
From my understanding,
yes.
Since 1985.
Okay? It had been in place. When the state plan came in place,
They moved us over to the state plan, including the county commissioners. Now, whatever they did, I have no idea as far as management or who it was, but that's how it ended up. It's nothing that we put in place. It's been there since 1985, and that's what it has been. And it
well, should... it might predate that action, Mr. Trent. That's just as far as I go by.
Okay. So it's nothing new. And that's what I'm trying to make here is that, you know, is you want to drop your insurance for the school and ask the school to reimburse you the amount of money they're paying because you get it through the county commissioners, please do that. I mean, that would be your choice. All right. But I think for oncoming commissioners or commissioners that are here, we need to move forward with the insurance plan because that's the way it has been since 1980. Just because the state has turned around and decided, not only us, but every county in the state of North Carolina, that they're not going to cover county commissioners. But we have been covered since 1985, according to the county attorney, with a brokerage firm that was covering the health insurance for us.
Right.
So that's where I'm at with that. But feel free to go back to the school and have them reimburse you.
So no, like. But what you're saying, though, is that it used to be with your own brokerage, and it was not through the state. So like in 1985, it was probably very exceptional. But now the state is saying, like, and that's the same way with the school system, if we don't give insurance to part-time people, like let them work X amount of hours.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this right now. You know, what it boils down to is the benefit that the county commissioners have had, the amount of work that we put in, whether it's 40 hours or not for them, we put in a lot of time. And what it comes down to, it's benefit that's been here since 1985. And we'll talk about state brokerage firm. You know, they put us on that list to go with that. That was one of our votes that we had. Are we going to go to the state plan or are we going to keep our own workers plan? And we did that with the knowledge and understanding that we were on that plan to be carried also. So that is how I look at it.
Suggestion. I think there's a way to do both things here. First of all, but the only two of us were impacted by this now. That was included in the agreement that was made with us when we accepted it. And I think we should continue that, obviously, for the next year. That's one piece. But after that, we should then look at what we want to do. Because there's many other examples. I made a call to a couple of counties around us, and it's all over the place. Some of them who are not on the state of doing what the Mideast does. It's available to you as a county commissioner, right? So if you want to take it, you take it and get the coverage. But if your spouse has coverage and you're covered under your spouse or you're covered in another employment, you are then actually getting the money for what it would have paid out to you for the charge. And I don't particularly like that, but that's what a lot of counties are doing. So I think we need to compartmentalize it. We got an issue right now that talks about what are we going to do for those who are on the board or on the plan, and that's just doing it. And I think what we want to do is extend that for the next year as part of what was agreed to us when we went through. But there's another piece. People are running, filing as of right now for this job. So we need to be able to say clearly to the public what, you know, is in, you know, what benefits are there if you are elected, right? If you're coming in thinking you're going to get insurance and we're not going to do it, then that's fine, but public needs to know that.
And I'd like to say this also. The very first year that I was a county commissioner, I didn't accept the health insurance. Why? Because I already paid my health insurance in full, okay? And that was through one of my corporations. Well, it being in full, trust me, health insurance companies do not like to reimburse money because all of a sudden you've got it, okay? So on the same content, I'll go back to what I said. If you don't want it, that's fine. That's your choice. You have a choice of being accepted or not accepted. If you have it somewhere else, that's fine too. I had it somewhere else. And I didn't turn around and have the situation that, you know, well, they're getting this and I'm not getting this. That's a choice you make. Okay? That is a choice that you make. And my situation is different than other people's situation. I understand that. I think that the future is also going to have health insurance for the county commissioner. That is my opinion on this, and move forward with this.
One benefit of dealing with it just for right now, for this next year, is that any board, quite frankly, has a right to change or adopted any revision. Right. So, you know, all we really have authority on right now, this board, is what we cover, right? We can't, I don't think we want to obligate it, but it does. But we really make a lot of But, you know, I just think going forward, you know, but people who are running for office do need to understand what, you know, benefit they would get if they were elected and were brought. So that's we, so we do have some resolution.
Lloyd, back to you, so to the candidate, correct? You said it's been in effect since 1985, correct?
Well, insurance in some form has been provided for every kind of information since I've been.
So when they basically made the decision to do that, it was a decision to do it and keep on doing it. And if another board comes in, they want to change it and take away the benefit, then they can take away the benefit.
Sure.
We turn around and do what we think needs to be best, okay? And put it in place. And if it stays for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, then it does. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. But that would be for the next board to decide what happens.
Mr. Chairman, right?
Yes, sir.
I have state issues. Commissioner Wayne has state issues. But I feel other commissions make myself clear at length, should not be penalized because what we have. And Commissioner White stated, I'm stating the same point. I don't want any money. I want my co-workers to be covered. You know, I just want to be clear about myself. I mean, like, you know, I want my co-workers to be covered with insurance, to like I am. That's why I made the motion. Mm-hmm. Portions on the floor. Is the portion done?
Well, so we're going over because it's not. So it's not going to be state insurance that anybody's on. They're going to have to go to, if I read your email correct, they're going to have to go to the marketplace and find their own insurance. And so I guess my question is that can get costly quick. So like without knowing, anyway, okay.
Not necessarily because we're now under COVID. Right, even if we're not that disciplined, we have the right to take the exact same thing we have now for the next 18 months.
Right.
So that covers John and I, period. So that's why I say, if you look at the only issue to me that's open is that people who are running now, who will get elected in 24, need to know what the rules are at this time. Can they be changed? Fine. But we didn't say these are the rules now, but they could possibly be changed.
And if they don't change them, then they can like change them in the future. That's how I look at it.
Essentially, like a COBRA, y'all have to pay COBRA, and then y'all gonna have to be reimbursed. Mm-hmm. Because that's my, y'all have to do that. I don't care. I'm just trying to make this. Because if you're not able to get the sick plan in the future, like not y'all, the person who ever comes and runs in your spot, doesn't have insurance, they can't get on the state health plan at all. So they won't ever be able to get COVID. So they're going to have to go to the marketplace and find an insurance plan.
Yeah.
So we don't know how much it would ever cost, is I guess what I was asking and getting at. Is that right, Warren?
My statement was, you know, when I was talking to Juan, was that we could find a broker, okay, that would cover the county commissioners, and that way we know exactly where it's going to be, okay? Now, they came up with COBRA, okay, for two of us. And again, I still want to reiterate, my first year, I had already paid my insurance in full for the whole thing. I didn't have an issue with the county commissioners having insurance because I couldn't get my money back. It has been in effect. We need to move this thing forward and get it set up where this is the way it is. And then if whoever the next board is, or 10 boards down or 5 boards down, they decide they're going to do away with it, then they can do away with it. But since 1985, this is how it's been. And we had nothing to do with it. That's the deal.
I just want to make sure that we're clear. It's kind of about two things. That we need to move on and be clear about. And one would be the county covering the COBRA plans for the current commissioners who have medical insurance coverage, but also going forward, because perhaps, you know, we have one commissioner who's absent. The deadline for, I'm not sure about that, if the deadline for getting a marketplace plan would still be available, for instance, if Commissioner
wanted
to do that. So my point is that piece about current commissioners who have current plans is one, but also other commissioners in the future or now who decide, yes, I want a marketplace plan and I want to be reimbursed for that. So just want to make sure we cover both.
So we're talking about coverage for the next year.
Correct.
So whether two people are insisting to cover or someone else who makes a decision tomorrow, we're still talking about the city.
Yeah.
Correct. No, I thought you said you wanted two different things.
Well, one, okay, yeah,
one, so, one is covering for y'all.
Yes.
Cover. That's the first.
Correct. And the other thing would be in the future, and I say in the future, not only for new commissioners who may be all coming, but for any commissioner who says, okay, the deadline is December 15th, I have time to secure a place, a plan through the marketplace. So I would like to purchase that and have a county to reimburse me. So just need
it is two. You're right. It's two. One, because y'all have COBRA, and two, he's going to have to, if he, I don't know what he's got.
Yeah.
So if, but if he, about it, he has to go to the marketplace, we have to say we're going to cover it.
Yeah, but it makes no sense that I could do it where every commissioner would have my place independently, because you can come up with three different plans. Why not let the county go to the marketplace, find a plan that is close to what we're currently offering?
Right, the guidance that we would
get. Yeah, that would be not getting a work, what you get policy that
everybody would be under the same coverage, right, as whether they have three or four different plans.
I understand that. And so our HR director, LaToya Harrell, spoke with someone from the marketplace, and the guidance you received was is based on individual like responses from the individuals.
Do you smoke?
So the individuals
80-20, do you want 70-30? Do you, I mean, like, it's all of that stuff. So if you're gonna have a independent, mm-hmm, and I won't use names, but you know, like there's one right there.
Right.
If you're gonna, that would be the best thing to do, is if you don't have something that just covers.
I think so. I think that that's exactly what I was saying, and you're saying what I'm saying.
That's
have an independent broker.
You're going to do
it. Okay. And that way there, they dump to say what it's going to be, and that is everybody in line.
I think we hear what he said. They would deal with each person individually.
I understand that. Everybody has their own needs, but I'm just saying, you know,
that one broker.
One broker handle it, and that way Ron's dealing with one person, or HR is dealing with one person, and not numerous different people.
Because the marketplace is going to be, just take us off and nobody has insurance. It's going to be five different prices for five different people who answer five of them. Who wants to carry children, and who wants to carry a husband or wife, or who? Right, and that, yeah, I don't know that opens another Pandora's
box. It kind of does, Commissioner. I think we need to go ahead and address that now, because if we don't, it's going to be a question that's going to come
exactly
later.
Right.
So are we saying, when the motion or the vote is made, I think it needs to specify, is it for the commissioner only? Or, for instance, if a commissioner elects to have covers through the marketplace, or once they secure a plan, it needs to be explicitly stated that that plan is for the commissioner, not any children, not any spouses.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And again, I think we need that brokerage firm, that broker, okay, through an insurance company to bring it to us, okay, or bring it to management. Manager says, okay, this is who's going to live.
But your question's right.
Yes.
Suggest that.
That's exactly right.
Hold it.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And that's what has been addressed, correct? Lloyd?
As far as I know.
Okay. As far as I know, too.
So then the question that I'm going to ask that now is, if we go to an independent brokerage and I want to add my wife, do you just pay the flat fee of $7,100? What, I'm just making that up, and then I have to pay the rest, like
you would. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only part that the county.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the commissioner. Just government commissioner. That's it. What's wrong?
You're just gonna have to figure out. If you just need a flat line, you say we're gonna pay $8,000 for insurance, or $7,000, and be done. And if it's
well, the broker,
$14,000,
the broker basically tell you what that's gonna be.
Depending on how you answer stuff and how it's going to change. So, and then like if you want 80-20, and I don't know, so that's what I don't know what we do here. That's, I guess, that's why I'm asking this question.
It's 80-20 or 70-30. Right. And you can choose for the 80-20 and pay for the upgrades of the 80-20. And I will tell you this, we've had this discussion in the past with retirees, okay, where we're covering the insurance on retirees, and they were having the supplement being paid for, okay, correct? Right. And then you had different retirees that smoked, and they had heart condition, all this other kind of stuff, okay? And we were paying the upcharges on that. We have always done that. No matter what you want to do, it's just the way it panned out. And that was for retirees. I didn't agree with that. It was a complete conversation all the time.
When we made a decision to get the broker, let us depend on it.
That's exactly right.
So if you drop us
and we're not reinstated by prior to the 15th.
So my understanding is once you're terminated, those commissioners who currently have a claim, you will get a corporate notice.
Well, and you should
act on.
But your point was about the commission ballot. Who is not under COBRA, and we don't know what he's going to do. So if our policy changes, right, and he wanted something, what is he going to go to if he decides to choose from the new option, which is coverage from the county? That's not under COBRA.
Right.
So
correct.
That deadline is the 15th. That's my point. Mm-hmm. We need a decision by the
15th. Yeah. Does everybody agree with this, that we need to make a decision to have a broker, okay, get a price for health insurance? County commissioners, okay, and carry that policy through.
It's an agreement that
okay.
Once we talked to the person was about the new commission wanted to get in on what the plan would be, since he's not here to switch himself, he's not covered up. Right. So that meant that his deadline would be the 15th. And if he missed that deadline, he's likely not going to be penalized and not get out. So we need some decision.
Speak with Mr. Brown's about this. I believe he would totally agree with both because he shared with me that he needed.
That's the reason we're here. We're pushing it here. Trying to give us a quote on health insurance, what we're going to have to do. And move in that direction.
And again, we can research that, the whole brokerage piece, but again, based on the guidance given from the marketplace, it was that each commissioner had to secure a claim for himself. And once that was done, the county could reimburse, because again, it may not be one flat fee, because it's going to be based on a number of different things, individual. So I'm not certain that.
But as it is now, even the statement is based on the individual. So if we say to the broker, right, that only the commissioner is covered, only the commissioner is covered, I'm not saying what we just said, then it would be individual to that commissioner. If he smokes or doesn't smoke, that's the way it is now. And that's listing statement. So nothing changes. You still get that individuality. His point is, choose one broker, let that broker deal with each of the commissioners, knowing that it's going to be a different evaluation for each
other. Exactly. You know, that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. Is there a consensus on that right this second?
Yes.
If it is, then let's make them have a motion on this. And have a motion that specifies what we're talking about.
Yeah, make a motion that we contact the broker to specify additional bond conditions. The bill doesn't sense.
Is there a second? Okay, we have a first, we have a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
Okay, that was good. All right. 2024 NACO Legislative Conference, February 10th and 13th. Does everybody get the notice? Thank you, Mr. LaShonda.
Yes.
I did. Okay. All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Is there a second on that motion?
Second, that motion.
All right, there's a first and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner's report. Mr. Robinson, do you have anything? Sounds good, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you. I always have a couple of things there. First of all, I don't want the public to know that Berkshire County was honored by being the host of the 50th anniversary National World Health Day. And that benefit drove a $300,000 grant for the Berkshire County Network, Behavioral Health Network, because we agreed to host this and work with us. That's significant. Other thing is, I want to praise Nicole Outlaw, because she, is the head of the Berkshire Business Network. They had a pop-up in South Windsor on November 25th. That was extraordinary. People came from all over the region. But she also, and Commissioner White was there when they did the NC Growth session. Again, packed house with people coming to hear about the things that are being done in Berkshire County and the region. And Nicole and her team really did a great job to give Berkshire County a lot of exposure. One other thing, on December the 16th, Saturday, REITs across America. For the first time, we're going to provide REITs to every single veteran at our public cemeteries, Edgewood and Hillcrest. We've already secured them, and we already have them through donations. Another thing is in that we have chosen a 4-H agent who has accepted, but Billy will, I'm sure, make that notification to us at a later date. But finally, after almost 2 years, we have that 4-H position for them.
And Mr. White, do you have anything to add?
Okay. I've already spoke to everybody. We do have public comments, 3 minutes. Is there an individual that yeah, somebody raised their hand? Yes, you'd like to make public
comments. Tammy Lee sent a text asking me to thank you for appointing Franklin Williams to the Tri-County Commission, and says that any of y'all are welcome to attend on the second Thursday of the month at 12 noon.
Okay, is there any other 3 minute comments?
I have one item, commissioners, and to the public, and that is to remind everyone of the opioid fund settlement meeting that will be held on December 13th at 6 o'clock in the community meeting room of the Mercy County Library and North Carolina Cooperative Extension Facility. At that meeting, we will discuss ways that the opioid settlement funds can be used. And at this time, I do have a question for commissioners, just to make sure that we give the proper notice. I just need to know if 3 or more commissioners will plan to attend.
Yeah. Actually, I had it set for the 11th. We discussed having a 11th. We only moved it to the 13th. So it's on the 13th now. Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay. So we will. Yeah. Okay. So we'll make sure that proper notice is given in the event that we have a court. Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Attorney, do you have any reports for us?
No, sir. Not.
Yeah. Now, the one lady that wanted to have a
sufficient.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Motion that we go into closed session under General Statute, North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A3, 4, and 6. Motion, please.
So moved.
Now we have a first or second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're now in closed session.
Okay.
So we just come out of closed session. Have a motion to have a second.
Thank you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.